This is The Side Hustle Show with Nick Loper, episode 70, Software as a Side Hustle, Mistakes, Market Validation, and Massive Scale.
Welcome to The Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive. And now, your host, Nick Loper.
Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to The Side Hustle Show. This is episode 70, Software as a Side Hustle. My guest today is Spencer Hawes, a repeat offender here on the show. It was almost exactly a year ago. He was on talking about building niche sites that make money with AdSense or with affiliate programs, and definitely encourage you to check that one out in the archives if you're interested, but a much different conversation today. This time, it's all about Spencer's growing software business that started with the keyword research tool Longtail Pro and has since expanded into a new venture this year. So you're going to learn about his process for software projects and how you can replicate those steps for ideas of your own. Now, the timing of this is perfect because I came back from Podcast Movement with my brain buzzing about this new software idea I thought I could sell. And the only problem, like Spencer, is I don't know how to build it myself. So it'll be interesting to hear what he has to say on the topics of outsourcing and market validation and all that kind of stuff. So news and updates before we get into it. I created a sweet t-shirt that says, "Every day I'm hustling." If you want to add a little hustle to your wardrobe, check it out at sidehustlenation.com/T. That's just the letter T. Available for a very limited time only. I think you'll like it. Check it out. And there's a new Inner Circle Mastermind class starting in October. This is hosted weekly by me, and I want you to be a part of it. If you want to kickstart your side hustle for 2015, get a head start on the new year in the last quarter of this year, I urge you to apply at sidehustlenation.com/join. Again, this is for people who are, you know, are feeling some of the entrepreneurial slash side hustle loneliness and kind of want to find their people, find a group of like-minded folks. And you know, if you're ready to invest in your business growth and personal development, this is the group for you. And if you want to make some meaningful progress toward your financial freedom in the next 90 days, this is what it's all about. Learn more and apply now at sidehustlenation.com/join. We'll set up a quick intro chat to see if it's a good fit, and then we'll get it going. And that's it for the news and updates. And let's get Spencer on the line. Hey, Spencer, welcome back to the Side Hustle Show.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Nick. It's good to be here.
You bet. So Spencer is the founder of nichepursuits.com, which is required reading for anybody involved in SEO or building niche sites. But today we're talking about software. And Spencer has had a huge hit on his hands with the keyword research tool Longtail Pro. And as if he didn't have enough going on already, he's got a new software side hustle called Vylo.org, V-Y-L-O. So Spencer, what, I guess, you know, if people want the background, they can go and check out our episode from last year or check out nichepursuits.com. But what makes software an attractive business or an attractive side hustle?
Yeah, so software really is a great business. I think most people probably have the general idea that software is something that you can create one time and then sell as many copies as you want, you know, similar to a book or other property that you own, you know, sort of intellectual property, if you will. So that's, you know, that's what makes it great, is there's not a lot of production costs or anything like that. I can sell software over and over again and it doesn't cost me anything more, right? So that's generally speaking what makes software a great business. But in addition, there's just so much upside potential because of that. When you go into a market, for example, Longtail Pro, everybody that's building a website, everybody that is hoping to get their content to rank at the top of Google is probably doing some type of keyword research. And so there's a lot of potential, big market, and it can be quite profitable. So generally, you know, that's kind of the attractiveness of software, is that you can sell it over and over again with sort of a one-time production cost, and the upside is huge.
I like it. And that's kind of the thing where it's similar to a niche site where it's like you're going to put in the upfront investment to build it, and then hopefully it continues to pay you back over and over again. And that's something that I've tried to set up for success with some of my, you know, Kindle efforts. And even even with the podcast, right? Like, it takes, you know, the same amount of time to, you know, research and edit and record, you know, one show, whether 10 people are listening or whether 1,000 people are listening.
Exactly.
So I kind of like those, I guess, those types of projects where there's some scale, potential for scale involved.
Yep, absolutely. And I should clarify, I mean, in reality, software isn't something that you can create just once, at least usually. You know, that's maybe true in some cases, but in particular for Longtail Pro and other markets that are rapidly changing, when Google changes, you know, we have to update the software. And so we're constantly making updates and improvements. So it's not really a one and done, but the core concept is there. You just have to stay on top and continually update, upgrade, make sure that it's running smoothly for people.
Right. That's what somebody kind of warned me about when I was looking at, you know, app development or WordPress plugins. Like, with each update to the core system or the core iOS or the core, you know, WordPress files, like, your app is going to break or your plugin is going to break, and you're going to have to, you know, make another investment in upgrades, and then people are going to get upset with you and on and on and on. But so this, it may be, like you said, not a one-time, one-and-done build, but an ongoing asset that you can develop and improve upon.
Yep, absolutely.
So let's talk about Longtail Pro for a minute. What was the development process for this like, or kind of what were the beginning stages of that project?
So Longtail Pro has a rich history, if you will. When I started Longtail Pro, I really didn't know what I was doing. I had never built a software product before. I'm not a developer. I'm not a programmer. Just a business guy. You know, I had a degree in finance. But I saw the potential for a keyword research tool. There were some others out there, and I was a heavy, heavy keyword researcher myself. And the tools that are out there, I wasn't happy with, and so I decided to build my own. I went out and I went to, I think it was freelancer.com,
okay,
and posted a job to get some bids. So I hired a developer and had it developed, and it really is kind of a long story. But
were you intending to use it all just for yourself, or was the intention always to sell it?
No, the intention was indeed to sell it, okay. But I just felt like I had a better perspective on keyword research because I was doing it daily than even the creators of some of these other software tools had. Okay. And so it definitely was for me, but always the intention was to make it a business.
You remember what the initial bid was, or the initial development cost?
Yeah, so it wasn't very much. It was, and I'll explain this a little bit later, but honestly, it was around $3,000, you okay. know, probably to have the entire app developed, which is really cheap when you consider how robust Longtail Pro is. It was developed. I got a working copy out. It was super ugly, but it did what I wanted it to do.
The functionality was there.
The functionality was there.
For $3,000, that's really cheap.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, however, within about a week, things started to fall apart. So Google made some updates and it no longer was generating keywords like it was supposed to. So I had to go back to my programmer and have him update things. And it was an ongoing battle from basically week one.
Okay.
The mistake that I made, and I guess – this could be, like I said, could be a really long story, but I made the mistake, or my programmer that I was dealing with was overseas and maybe we didn't communicate properly. He was unwilling to give me the source code because I wanted to end up taking it to what I felt like was a better developer to have it developed even better, because I could see that there was clearly constant bugs and things that weren't going right.
Okay.
And so then I made the decision, okay, he wasn't giving me the code and was kind of asking for some money.
He was holding it ransom.
He was holding it ransom and is asking $15,000 to give me the source code.
Wow.
And so I had a pretty big decision to make, because I was already selling it publicly, customers are breathing down my neck, hey, this isn't working anymore. It's only a month old. Uh-huh. What's going on? And so I had to decide, man, do I spend $15,000 to get the source code?
Just to have access to it so you could have somebody else, you know, fix
exactly,
it up.
Exactly. Oh. Exactly. What I ended up doing and was the best decision that I could have made, with hindsight, absolutely is the best decision. I walked away completely from the original version of Longtail Pro. I went out, I found somebody else, I did a lot more due diligence, found somebody based here in the US, somebody I spoke with on the phone several times before I hired them, and it ended up paying them more than $15,000. I won't say exactly how much, but a lot of money. But they went back and redeveloped everything from the ground up, and I've constantly been updating it for the past 3 years to keep it up to date. But it now works way better. Customers are happy. It works as it's supposed to. So that's the story of how I developed Longtail Pro.
Definitely. There's a similar story there with the development of Shoe Sniper. It was probably around $10,000 for that initial build. And since then, you want to think that you're done, but it's probably been, another six figures on top of that in terms of updates and whatever else needs to go into it.
Yep, but it's been well worth it. Longtail Pro is a very profitable business for me, so I'm happy to pay my programmer to be updating and making sure that everything's running as it should.
So what would you do, instead of hiring this guy for $3,000, was the $15,000 price tag reasonable out of the gate? Like, had that bid came through from your U.S.-based guy, was that even on the table? Is like with no market validation? Like, that's a big chunk of money to bet.
Yeah, that's a great question. If I would have seen that price tag the first go-round, I probably wouldn't have looked at it. Just because I was so green at this, never having built a software product before. Here I am seeing bids for, $3,000, $4,000. And, it's a contract. They say they're going to get this project done and it's going to work. I have nothing to lose, right? that's kind of how I saw it. So I think I was so inexperienced that I wouldn't have hired somebody for that much money right off the bat. I don't think that I would have.
Yeah.
So it kind of took me that lesson, learning that the more expensive developers are probably worth it.
Yeah, that's a relatively cheap lesson, all things considered. So that's
– good point.
That's pretty good. Would you, in hindsight, like make sure to put, hey, I own the source code or something in the agreement, in the contract? Or how would you prevent kind of this ransom situation?
Yeah, I did do that the second go around. I made sure to put that clause in there. It's sort of a weird situation in the fact that it's basically understood that when you go through these freelance sites that you are the owner of the source code,
right,
and the original work that comes out of it.
Seems weird. You have to spell that out.
Yeah, so I probably could have disputed it and gone through arbitration with freelancer.com and hopefully would have won in the end, but I kind of took the calculated risk that the amount of time to go through that and the hassle, it was probably better to just start from scratch anyways.
Now, did you find this next guy on Freelancer as well, or did you find him on a different platform?
So I actually went over to Elance.com just because I was getting a lot more US-based bids on Elance, and nothing wrong with overseas developers. I just, English is my first language and his first language. We communicate better.
Right.
And I went to Elance.com and found a great person.
I've had that experience too, even between like Odesk and Elance, and I guess now they're combined, but I, always seem to get more bids and more local bids, when I post something on Elance.
Yep, for sure.
Okay, so it's built. Customers have already bought it. Like, so you had a built-in audience to sell to, right? Because the blog was going on at this point.
Yes.
And kind of people were waiting. So what was the sales process look like? Like, hey, I built this specifically for you. It's going to help you. It's going to save, whatever, 10 hours a week.
Yep.
Click here to buy now.
Yep, that was pretty much the sales process. So I did. I had started my blog. It was actually under a different name than nichepursuits.com, but essentially the same thing.
Okay.
You know, I had a small following, not a big following at all. I would say, if I were to guess, maybe I had a list of 1,000 people,
okay,
you know, on my email list. So not huge by any means, but, you know, a little bit of a following. And so I launched it to my email list, posted an announcement on my blog. Trying to remember if I did that first, or it may have been, at the same time even, that I launched it on the Warrior Forum. I did a Warrior Forum special offer, you know, just where you basically a classified ad on the forum where people can buy it directly there.
Okay.
And that's how I launched it. Yeah, it was on the Warrior Forum and on my own blog. I knew nothing about recruiting affiliates. I did none of that asking other people to email their list. It was strictly to my own list, and I put it on the Warrior Forum and let the traffic that can't come to it. So it was a really sort of sad launch. You know, I've learned a lot about launching products since then. So it was a very soft launch, but I got enough sales and interest to clearly see that there was interest, a good market. And I made my money back, actually, on my, you know, initial investment of $3,000. I don't remember how long, but certainly within the first month of selling it, you know, okay. I made that money back.
So that kind of opened up the wallet to say, okay, if, you know, maybe 15K is a reasonable amount to spend to upgrade.
Exactly. Yeah. That allowed me to take the calculated risk of, okay, so now I need to spend 15,000 plus. I see that there's a market. I know people are willing to pull the trigger. I think I can make it happen and make it profitable.
It's been validated a little bit.
It's been validated. Yep.
What was the pricing like? Has that pricing changed over time?
Yeah, the pricing has changed a little bit. Man, you're making me go way back. This is about 3 years ago when I initially launched it, maybe 3.5. But so pricing was around, I think, either 37 or 47 when I launched it initially.
Okay.
For the first couple of weeks or so.
And it's a one-time purchase, not a recurring monthly thing.
Yes. At the time, it was a one-time purchase.
Okay.
So 37 or 47 for the first, you know, couple of weeks. And then I think the standard price was 67 or 77 for probably about the first 6 months to a year. Until I got the new version out of beta, I went through, you know, 3 or 4 months of development and then 3 or 4 months of beta. And then I bumped up the price to 97 one time. And that's what it's been at for at least the past couple of years.
Okay. So of the first, you know, 1,000 people on the email list, how many pulled the trigger and bought it at the, you know, at the intro price?
Yeah. So I don't know how many came from that list, but, you know, I made, and I really should have come prepared with all the numbers here, but probably, you know, about 100 copies in the first month. So I made probably between $4,000 and $5,000.
Okay.
In the first month.
That's a pretty quick turnaround, or pretty quick, you know, break even horizon there. So that's cool.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, it definitely was.
I really liked, and you probably saw Dave Schneider's article on, you know, selling the shovels in the gold rush the other day.
I did see that. Yeah,
I thought this was actually really done. Really well done. I think it got picked up by Yahoo News or something as well.
Oh, nice.
Where he gave the example of, you know, of Longtail Pro, or of being, you know, niche sites being the gold rush, and Longtail Pro being an example of selling shovels in the gold rush. And
yep.
That was really, really well done. And so this is an example that I guess that makes perfect sense. And you can kind of see what other gold rushes are going on. You know, what other waves could you ride that are going on in the market right now? Just for the sake of brainstorming, you know, what kind of software product could I build potentially? You know, look around for other trends and see how you could capitalize on those trends, which kind of transitions us into Vylo. And so I don't know hardly anything about this product. So what does it do? Where did the idea come from for this?
Yeah. So Vylo is basically, it's a web-based voice chat software for gamers. Okay. So it's just an online solution to do voice chat. It's super simple to use. It's free to use, at least initially, and it solves a problem for gamers. So the idea actually did not come from me. It came from Perrin, who people that are reading nichepursuits.com or are familiar with Perrin. He's my full-time employee. He helps me build out niche sites. But he's a hardcore gamer, unlike me. I don't play a lot of PC games. I don't play any PC games, to be honest.
Okay, I was going to ask. Because like, you got four kids. You know, you're probably not a lot of time for video games. I didn't know if you had an alter ego that was huge in the gaming space.
Yeah, no, I wish I did. You know, the only games I play is like Mario Kart on the Wii with my kids or something.
Nice,
you know,
nice.
Like it's pretty casual gaming. So that's where the idea came from. His parents saw a need in the market of gamers because they go in and groups of 10 or 20 of these people for League of Legends, for example, is a big game where people form these groups just one time with random strangers that are playing all at once to go do a big raid or, you know, do some big strategic move within this game. And they need to all plan together. And so it can be very cumbersome to exchange usernames and everybody install Skype and everybody get on Skype or everybody install this other software and do this or that.
And
it can be hard to get
in.
Everybody together.
Built in the game itself?
In some games, there is text chat, I believe, but usually, no, there is no voice chat built in directly.
I remember in college, we would play Halo and we'd be getting blown up by like some 12-year-old kids and they'd like just make fun of us on the headset and stuff, and it was bad news. But so it's similar to that, except for computer-based.
Right, computer-based. And so people can come over to Vilo. All you have to do is click the Create Free Room, and you know you can create basically it gives you a URL for a private room, and you just share that URL, and everybody can join that, and immediately you're in chatting right away without downloading or logging in or signing up for anything.
Okay. And what's the response been like this now? Did Perrin have an audience built in the gaming community?
So kind of. He built up an audience specifically for this product launch. So what he did is, you know, he's not well known and doesn't have, you know, thousands of followers on a blog or anything like that. But in anticipation of doing this, he went over to Reddit, which has a very active community for League of Legends, and he basically posted the idea for the software before it was ever created. He said, "Hey guys, I'm thinking about creating this that's free," and you know, explained everything that I just said there. "What do you guys think? And is there anything that you could improve upon?" And he did create a very simple landing page with a video that was not a video demo, but just an explainer video, kind of cartoon, says this is what the software will do, you know, and if you think it's a good idea, you know, submit your name and email to get on the list when it is launched. And so by submitting that thread on to Reddit, he got like 6,000 people to join his email list within less than 2 weeks.
Wow. So I've submitted like two threads on Reddit in my life and they go nowhere. Like,
yeah,
like, okay. Everyone says like, well, Reddit is, you know, there's huge traffic to be had on Reddit. I guess I haven't cracked the code. So was there any, he was in the community. He was kind of entrenched a little bit earlier, right? He was like, you know, commenting and he was part of it before saying, "Hey, this is my explainer video."
Yeah. Yeah. So I'd call him semi-active on Reddit.
Okay.
You know, he's not like a power user or anything, but yeah, he's been there. He has a little bit of reputation. So when he posted something, it wasn't like his first post or anything.
Okay. Let's for the explainer video teaser, this was something built on Elance, or how did you guys build that?
Yeah. And to clarify, all of this sort of pre-launch was all Perrin. This is before he was working for me. He did this probably a month or two before I ever hired him.
Okay.
And but he created a free explainer video. It's on it with a service called Powtoon, P-O-W-Toon, T-O-O-N,
okay.
.com. So they just have free, you know, graphics and other animations that you can use with background music. Created it totally free. It was like a 1.5 minute video. Nothing super complicated, just really explain the benefits of what Vylo would do. And yeah, basically just ask them to join the email list.
Like, hey, if you're interested, if this sounds useful to you, join the email list and be the first to hear about it.
Yep, exactly.
6,000 emails in 2 weeks.
I know, it blows my mind. Again, I'm not a big Reddit user. I'm not a big gamer. And so I don't know, maybe it's just the Reddit sub or the gaming sub niche.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's why you haven't seen a ton of success. I don't know. Whatever he did, and he is a writer. So when he wrote his pitch, if you will, on Reddit, it was very well done.
Okay.
Just and very humble in a way. It wasn't like saying, hey, you know, we've got the greatest idea ever. It wasn't it wasn't really a pitch. It was like, hey, we need some help. We have this core idea. Do you have any other additional ideas? You know, here's a link showing what our idea is so far.
Yeah, no, this is really fascinating to me. The whole idea, look, I'm going to create a free 90-second explainer video for something that doesn't even exist.
Yeah.
And collect 6,000 emails in 2 weeks. I'm going to head over to Powtoon right after this call and see what I can see what I can draw up.
For sure.
So now you've got some validation. You've got more than enough validation to move forward with this. Now, what comes next?
Yeah, so what came next is, again, this was sort of Perrin and he has a couple of friends. It was their idea, but they have never created software before. They didn't know the next steps, and they don't have any money, or they didn't have any money
to
hire somebody. And this came up in conversation after I'd hired Perrin, and I said, you know, I'm looking to create some other software. I've been involved in the software business for a little while. I would be very intrigued. I can see that you validated it. Seeing the 6,000 email subscribers was a huge selling point for me. I'm like, you know, this looks like a great idea. Tons of people are interested. Let's make it happen. So I stepped in and said, I'm willing to put up the money to hire a developer and get this developed. You guys can still be responsible primarily for the marketing and distribution of this since you're in that audience a little more than I am. And we'll make it happen. So that was the next step is I sort of put up the money. We went out and we found a developer. We actually hired somebody that I had worked with previously to develop some WordPress plugins. His name's Nick Orn, great developer. We ended up hiring him, and he built out the software for us.
Okay. What was his – I guess if you were capable of saying, what was the investment cost to get the initial version of this thing built?
You know, I don't know. I don't think I have any restrictions on saying this. So we spent, it was right around $7,000 to get the software up and going.
Okay. So not a huge investment given the validation that's already happened. Although you're planning to give it away for free. The whole pitch was like, this is a free service. So let's talk about the freemium model for a minute. What prompted that, and you know, how, what percentage of people like go for the pro upgrade, or what's the upsell on this?
Yeah, absolutely. So it is, you know, a simple free way to get people in, but we do have a premium version that we kind of pitch to people. So when they're logged into the free room, you know, there's banners that say, you know, upgrade to pro, and the premium features offer no advertisements. You can have a permanent URL if you want to make that like your group's room to always be there. You can have it password protected. You have the ability to kick people out of a room if they're, you know, cursing or, you know, whatever you don't like, you can kick them out.
Okay.
And you can have bigger rooms. Like the free room only allows up to 5 people in that. So if you have a big thing where you want 20 or 30 people, you got to pay for it.
Okay.
And so that's sort of the main features of the pro version, if you will, that we're trying to pitch to people.
And what's the charge on the pro version?
So the charge on the pro version is $5 a month.
Oh, okay. So it's pretty affordable.
Yep. And that is similar. There is other software out in the market for gamers, and that is similar to what they're charging and some similar features to what they're doing as well.
Okay. And what kind of take rate are you seeing on the upgrades?
So we're still early on. I wish we could say we had this awesome conversion rate, but it's been a learning process, and this is kind of, you know, what we're going through in a new market. There are some premium subscribers, but you know, it's less than 50. You know, at this point, it's not like some huge number. So we're still early on, trying to get this business into profitability. And so we're doing some things like tweaking different features that maybe will go into the pro version. We're going to tweak the initial sales page, perhaps to make it more likely for people to sign up for the pro version right away rather than just always using the free version.
Okay.
And we may be launching an affiliate program to generate some more interest as well. So it's been, we get a lot of free users, you know, on a regular basis. So we know people like the software.
I guess using I should have asked how many free users are there, because that's a good metric for something like
that. Yeah. So there's close to about 1,000 people that have sort of signed up and registered,
okay,
and are using the software on a regular basis.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty good validation right out of the gate, just in terms of people using it. And that's something where, you know, with a lot of these software projects, it seems like even if it's a freemium model, you know, the number of users has value, you know, for, you know, an acquisition or whatever.
Right. And that is kind of our big goal, at least at this point. Yeah, we would certainly love it if we had thousands of people paying the premium subscription right now. But right now, because it is early on, we just launched this a little over a month ago. We're looking for those free users. We're just trying to build out the user base. And we're hoping that once the user base gets to a certain point, it will hit a tipping point, because it's somewhat viral in nature, because you have to share the URL.
Right.
If you want to build a room of five people, you know, you have to tell five people about Vylo. And so we're hoping that at some point, whether that's 10,000 users or 5,000 users, it'll just hit that tipping point where more and more people will join. So, you know, that's the idea. We're trying to get it to that huge level of free users that, you know, we hit that point where it becomes profitable.
Definitely. It's one of these challenging spaces in that the customer is not, like, if they win the game, like, they're not winning any money, right? It's not like a business-to-business relationship.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, the guys from the foundation have kind of hammered on in their, you know, whatever the golden rules for building software. Like, it needs to be, you know, a business-to-business customer that has a previous history of buying software. And for a lot of these guys, I imagine this might be their first software purchase, or their first kind of subscription service of this nature.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes it a little bit more of a difficult market, you know, rather in contrast to Longtail Pro, where people can kind of see the ROI immediately on it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that is a good point. We also did have some validation, like I said, because there is similar software out there. There's probably three or four other competitors that do charge for their voice chat software.
Okay.
And we know they do very well. And so we feel like there is a market there, but you're also correct that the huge majority of this market are not those people that are going to whip out their wallet right away and pay for this. Whereas something like Longtail Pro, you know, a huge portion of that audience is willing to pay for something. So generally speaking, you know, I agree with that, that if you're going into a market and you're going to build a piece of software, you probably will have an easier time if you go into a market where people are more willing to pay for that monthly software or whatever it is.
Were you guys sweating the competition as you were building it? Like, you know, what features do they have? You know, what's their market share? How are they marketing this thing?
Yeah, definitely. We did take a look at them. Most of them are charging right out of the gate. Like, they don't have a free option at all. And so they're just charging, you know, $10 a month or $20 a month, depending on what it is. And some people really like them. There's some brand loyalty there. But we did look at ways that we felt like we could differentiate ourselves. One of those being, of course, the free rooms. Another being, you didn't have to download anything. We felt like that was a big feature. Most of our competitors had to actually download the software, install it on your computer. Whereas with this, it's all just online in the cloud. no downloads or anything. So we looked at our competitors, and we feel like we have a little bit better offering, a little bit different. So we're going to see how it plays out over the next few months.
It's really cool that you can be like, to even, I guess, conceptualize and build this thing. Like, I want to be able to just, you know, chat with people in a browser window and not, and like, that's possible. And then you can find somebody to build that for you. I love that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because there's been some new technology recently. It's the WebRTC. It's a open source platform, basically, that has made this functionality possible.
Okay.
So it's only been within the last year or so that sort of browser-based chat is even possible at all.
Okay. Very cool. So for people starting out, software or niche sites?
Great question. You know, I think there needs to be some learning that happens along the way. You know, I know for me that I learned a ton of lessons over the, probably 3 or 4 years of failed attempts at niche sites. It took me a long time before I figured out how to do anything with websites. And I still gain value from all those lessons I've learned.
Right.
So I don't know that it matters per se whether niche sites or software, but just understand there's probably going to be a big learning curve there. So whatever one you decide to go into, just jump in and do it. Just start learning the ropes right away. I would probably say that niche sites are more of a stepping stone. They can get you to a certain level, whereas software can get you to that retirement level. You know, like the potential is much, much bigger. Niche sites, great sort of side hustle, starting out business. But eventually, you'll probably want to move on to bigger things once you have maybe some money in your pocket. And software can provide that avenue for people.
I like it. You're moving up the value chain with each, you know, with each lesson learned, with each site you build, with each step you take. It's cool stuff. So,
yep.
If we, I guess one of the questions I've added into the interview sequence between the last time we talked is if you have only an hour a day to work on your side hustle or one of your projects that you've got going on, how are you going to spend that time?
I would spend it content marketing. I've seen huge value in my blog and getting my content noticed. So that's where I would remove all my distractions. And I wish I could do this now, you know, instead of answering emails and, you know, doing other sort of strategy calls with people, I would just focus on content marketing and getting the word out there about my product.
That's what it's all about. And last year I asked you for your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation. Do you remember what you said?
I can guess, but I don't know for sure since it has been a year.
I had to look it up too. Don't feel so bad. You said try to be original and to be yourself. And I guess want to ask if that has changed or if your words of wisdom have changed over the last 12 months or if you have anything you want to add to that before we wrap up.
That was going to be my guess. You know, I honestly probably wouldn't change that advice. I would still tell people to go out there and try to determine what side hustle or what business is right for them. Don't just look at what others are doing. Go out there, make your own judgment call. And by focusing on something that's unique to you, you're going to stand out from the crowd.
I love it, Spencer. Thank you so much, everybody. Check him out at nichepursuits.com. And if you want to check out Vylo, if you're a gamer, it's VYLO.org. Thanks so much. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Nick. It's been great. Thanks a lot, guys.
This episode is brought to you by my sweet Everyday I'm Hustling t-shirts. You can grab yours for a very limited time at sidehustlenation.com/T. That's just one letter, the letter T. They're available in both men's and women's styles in navy and what I'm calling side hustle orange. High quality materials, no URL, no branding. Now, I originally had this design printed so I could have something to wear and serve as a conversation starter at the Podcast Movement Conference, and it worked. And it was cool because I got the feedback that other people said, hey, I'd like to rock one of those too. And so here we are. I think they look pretty good, and we'll have to come up with a special prize for somebody who sends me their picture wearing the shirt. Anyways, really cool stuff. Check them out and grab yours today at sidehustlenation.com/T. And for this episode, I put together a free downloadable PDF with all my notes and highlights from the conversation with Spencer that you can grab at sidehustlenation.com/70, or just follow the link in the episode description of your podcast player app. That'll work too. So what do you think about Spencer's software business? Would you have the stomach to spend the $3,000 and then the $15,000 once you saw some validation? You know, what about his call to focus on content marketing? I was a little bit surprised by that, but at the same time, it made me feel good since that's what this this podcast is. But definitely a long-term play. Anyways, that's it for the show. Thank you so much for listening. I never would have gotten to 70 episodes without your feedback, your support, and encouragement. So thank you so much. And until next time, go out there and make something happen. And I'll see you next week in episode 71.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.